Hello and welcome to That Happens, the only podcast that'll have you saying, is this a bi-weekly podcast? I'm your host, Spencer Crittenden, and I do not like the way I can hear myself. I am coming to you live with EarPod Maxes that Kevin has graciously provided me, and I love them so much. But for some reason in this moment, and I don't know why, maybe I have like a clog in my ear or something, but I have the transparency off, and it sounds weird, but I turn the transparency on, and it still sounds weird. And what sounds weird is like the amount of transparency that's being blocked, if that makes sense. It's weird what I'm not hearing. I don't know. It's confusing to me, and I don't like it. It's uncomfortable. Hey. Speaking of, I don't like it and it's uncomfortable. I think this is an episode that you should skip probably because I just wanted to talk a lot about my cat who died. My cat died. And I wanted to talk about that. And it's going to be sad. And I think I'm going to cry a lot probably. And I told Kevin, I was like, Kevin, we got to do a pre-record. Kevin's like, no. Kevin's like, okay, whatever you want. And I was like, I don't want to talk to Kevin right now. I don't want to schedule a pre-record. And then it was Sunday, and I was like, I guess let's just do a live, you know? So, not good. Not going to be good. But hey, that's what life is. It's bad, and you're exposed to it, and you put up with it or whatever, or it kills you. But I don't think this podcast is going to kill you. But what will kill you is Kevin. What's up, Kevin? How you doing?
I'm sick today. I don't know. Like I've been told I sound a little bit like Harvey Fierstein. I think that's a bit of an exaggeration, but I don't have my normal voice today.
But I'm sound very normal. Yeah.
You think I sound normal?
I think you sound very, very normal. We got Typhoid Kevin in the building.
Yes.
And I am the spleen. I was thinking that if I had a new name for a radio name, it should be Nightmaster. Like you, hey, you tuning into Q107 with the Nightmaster on the ones and twos, baby. You in the darkness now, you know, or something. Yeah. Talking about how it's the nighttime, so you know the Nightmaster is in, or you know, I don't know.
You know? And it would be night and day then.
Yes. Oh my God. You know, okay. Remember Jeff wanted to do a show called Knight and Davis at some point. And then I think he did do something called Knight and Davis. I can't remember what he did, but he did do that. There was a point where I was like, oh, that would be funny if, we just started calling me Spencer Knight with a K, and then it's just like, oh, it's Knight and Davis, and it's Knight with a K, and it's Day with Davis. And, you know, oh, I'm Spencer Knight, and people will be like, you're not Spencer Knight. It's like, yeah, I am. And that would be the name of the show. But then at some point I realized that Night and Day still works with Kevin Day. And I never had revealed that to you, but you sussed it out very cleverly. And I think you're right. Night and Day, the Nightmaster. What's your day based name then?
The Daywalker? I don't know.
Yeah. Nightmaster and the Daywalker. I don't know. Well, that's enough palatable bullshit, if you could call it that. I don't know. Like I said, I don't think it's going to be a good podcast, but I think it's good for me. And why not damage the product for personal, whatever, right? You know, who cares? No, but I thought, I don't know. I do a lot of like kind of self journaling or therapizing on the podcast, if that makes sense, you know, just talking about shit. So I thought I could talk about it and that could be part of, what do you call it? I don't know, whatever. So without further ado, yeah, I don't know. My cat's been getting old for the past couple of years. You know, I knew she's like going to be coming into the station at some point, and it's just a matter of when and what's going to happen. So I've been thinking about that a lot more, and I was trying to, you know, pet her and stuff and be nice to her the past couple of years and you know, just think about what I would do in all the situations and not know, you know, because you don't, you, I don't know. For me, what I always think of is just, I don't want that to be like a really stressful death and end time or whatever. But, you know, that's like, death is inherently like stressful, you know, it's not like, even if you do not have natural causes, whatever that means, it's like, yeah, it's crazy. Crazy stuff's happening, you know, a death rattle, shitting your pants because you die, etc. It's like, it's all weird, you know, it's intense stuff. It's not chill. So yeah. So I think the first kind of real sign of aging is she just got worse at jumping up, onto beds with her back legs. She would just jump less forcefully. And I just figured she's getting old and stuff. Or whatever, you know, who knows. And she also had IBD, you know. So it was just like, who knows what's gonna happen. But I think I probably talked about it on the show. I kind of want to go back and listen to it just to see what I said about it. But a month or so ago, I took her to the vet, right? Remember when I took her to the vet?
Yeah.
So she was like, she was also almost limping, I would say, almost limping. And moving weirdly, like she was in pain, but she was still capable of moving. So I didn't know. And I spent, I want to say $1,000, $1,200, obscene amount of money to get that diagnosis that she has like arthritis or whatever. And they showed she had like disc degeneration in her back, but they were like, that looks normal to me. They said it, but they didn't really see anything wrong or whatever. They just said that's part of aging. I don't know. And so they said like, this might be permanent, or they could do stuff with this monoclonal antibody that's supposed to help arthritis. And they gave it to her, and it really seemed like it helped a lot, because after that injection, she basically went back to normal. But, you know, I don't know if her spine was deteriorating or what was happening exactly. Because then, we went back to the vet. So on Friday evening, I think, I realized Jason was limping on her front right paw. And, it was, I don't know, like cats, they can hurt themselves or cut themselves or like, pull a muscle or whatever. So it didn't seem like a big deal. But it seemed like something I should take her to the vet just to see, you know, get checked out, because you don't want it to get worse if they're walking around on it, you know? And also they can injure other parts of their body, and she's old, and I was like, well, you should just shake her in or whatever. Because the other thing is, like, if it was a sprain, which is likely because I didn't see a wound or anything, you know, so it probably wasn't a cut. But if it was a sprain, you would basically want to isolate them unless you could splint the limb, and just keep them like locked up so they don't move, which first of all, they do move anyway. So it's not super effective, although it still helps. But second of all, you know, you're locking a cat up in a tight space and that's not fun. So it's not like I just wanted to splint it without getting her checked or whatever. So on Saturday, I take her into the vet. It takes forever to see her. They look at her. They say she doesn't look like she's splinted, or it doesn't look like she's limping. And so I'm like, well, what the fuck? Because she is limping. And if the vet isn't seeing her limp, like, what is happening? And so they're like, we can run some tests, you know, leave, come back in a few hours. And I was like, okay, whatever. So I come back in a few hours and I get her back, and they're like, it looks like she's low on potassium, very low on potassium, whatever that means. So it's possible this is just like muscle weakness, which is a, you know, I think low potassium can cause loss of symptoms. So I was like, okay, so she's limping because of low potassium. I mean, okay. Because my thought is she probably strained, she got like a sprain, like a muscle sprain or something, you know? And so I brought up, she got a muscle sprain, and they're like, yeah, maybe because of her muscle weakness, she got a muscle sprain. I don't know. Who knows? And so I take her home, and I'm supposed to isolate her. So I put her in the bathroom, and, you know, she's still limping, but she seems okay. She doesn't want to be in the bathroom though. And so then I go and see Dune 2, which it would be cool to talk about Dune 2. But that movie was good, dude. Did you see it?
I haven't yet. Well, I really want to see that movie, though.
The first movie, I think, was good, but it was still kind of like setting up something, you know, it felt like mostly set up. Although I did like it, but I think it suffered a little bit from that. But this one didn't feel like that. It felt like it was just like, it was really, you know, I wouldn't say it was all payoff either, but it just felt like it was a full kind of movie. So I went to see Dune 2 with Jason locked in the bathroom, and I come back, and I come back, and she's limping on her back leg too. So now she's limping on both paws, and it's like pronouncedly worse. And so I'm like, well, what happened? Because honestly, it didn't really look like she moved that much. And I locked everything and moved it around. So there's like nothing to jump on. And I put something on the toilet so she couldn't jump on the toilet either. So there's like nothing to jump on. It didn't look like she jumped on anything, but her mobility was worse. And so I got home and I was freaking out and I start crying and stuff. And I was like, well, I got to go to the vet, but I don't know. I'll just go tomorrow because she's already been at the vet. Like, let's just chill out. And they said she had low potassium, so they gave me potassium, and the potassium was like honey. It like smelled like honey, and it tasted like honey, and it was a consistency of honey, and they said to give it to her. And but it just, they just gave me a tube of toothpaste, like stuff. And it said like, oh, give 1.5 milliliters, but like there wasn't an applicator or anything, so I didn't know what that was. So I gave her some amount of it. It definitely wasn't too much based on like, because I was like Googling pictures and videos and stuff, but I just kind of eyeballed like a blob of it to give her. But she definitely didn't like it. She wasn't eating it. I tried to offer it on her own, but I eventually just had to stuff it down her mouth, which is gross. And it like caked around her mouth and like hardened. And I felt pretty bad about that. So I went to bed and it was worse in the morning. And so then we went to the vet because I was like, oh, well, no, in the morning it was worse. And I was like, well, I think she's dying. So, we should have some like fun time and, just like hang out. And so we just laid around cause she couldn't move really. And, so we hung out for like 2 or 3 hours and then we went to the vet.
We went back to the vet. We've gone back to the vet a lot of times, and I don't like the vet, and they seem bad. I don't know why they seem bad. They just seem bad every time. I hate talking to them. They're bad at communication, and I probably should have gone to a different vet, but whatever. Emergency vets in general are bad because they're kind of like based on triage and stuff. They don't really have like a continuum of care or whatever. They're just like, you know, like, oh shit, my dog exploded. Let me put it back together. So the second time we're back to the vet and they're trying to take her and I'm like, well, can I hold on to her? And they're like, well, we think she might like collapse and die. And so I was like, okay. So they took her back and I waited about an hour and I was like, well, what's up? And they're like, well, no one's examined her yet. And so I was like, okay, so can I have her back? Because if you're not going to look at her or do anything, can we at least like hang out? She's going to die. And they eventually took her back and gave her back to me. And so then we're just sitting there waiting for like 3 hours. And finally the lady comes out and they're like, we were talking to the other vet. We're looking what's happening and it doesn't look good. It could be something neurological. So it's in her brain. And so you'd have to do an MRI and that's like $5,000. And then from there, who knows what you do? I don't know what you do, but you know, presumably you have a treatment plan that costs another several thousand dollars. And the other thing is it could have something to do with a car thyroid, which is a surgery which is a $3,000 first something, and then like another $8,000 for the surgery or whatever. And yeah, I didn't have insurance for Jason because I didn't even know you could get pet insurance. But apparently you could get pet insurance, but I didn't know about that until after she had IBD, so she didn't qualify for it anymore. But yeah, I think they said there was maybe a third thing, but I don't know. But they said it could be the spine, which would be her back legs or whatever. But the thing is, like, none of the things they said quite fit. I'm sure something neurological would fit. But, like, at this point, oh, yeah. So at this point in the morning, in the morning before I took her in, she had lost all of her limb mobility. So she could move, she could kind of flail her limbs around, but at about the elbow or so, like, she didn't seem to have like any control. So she could kind of like, I don't know, you can imagine kind of like crawling with your shoulders in your stomach or something. She could kind of crawl around like that, and she wet herself and stuff in it. And I was like, oh yeah, you're dying. And so that's why we're going to the vet. So what they're saying is, they're like, oh, that could be why the back legs aren't working. And it's like, yeah, but that wouldn't explain both of the front legs. And so I don't know. So I don't actually know what the deal is. I think it probably is something neurological. I don't know. But it just sucks that I don't actually know what it was. But, you know, who cares? It doesn't matter. Then I was like, yeah, I don't think we can, you know, they said it was like a 50-50 shot to try both of those things, which would be $12,000+, without, I think, really the actual surgeries to fix it, just to like figure out if it was that. And so I was like, great, let's just kill my cat. And, so then they're like, okay, I'll draw up the paperwork or whatever the fuck. And so then the lady goes away for like an hour. And I'm like, what the fuck is happening? And so then I go out and I'm like, what the fuck is happening? And they're like, I don't know, we'll find out. And then so like another hour passes and they're like, okay, we're going to get you into a room. And then another half hour passes, and then they get to a room, get me into the room to kill a cat. And they're like, okay, we just need the person to come in. And so I have Jason, and we've just been waiting there. And I wait there for like another hour in the room that we're going to kill the cat. Like, I've been there like for so long. And the fucked up thing is, like, I didn't want it to kill her. It's just that at this point she had, been 2 days without food or water, and they hadn't given her fluids. One of the reasons why I took her in the vet is, like, I was like, oh, maybe they can give her fluids. That'll give her some time. And then we could like spend a day or two at home and get someone to come in and kill her at home. You know, but they didn't do anything of that. And so I was like, at this point, she's been 2 days starving. She can't walk. You know, what's going on? She's just, you know, she's just in a lot of pain. So it got to the point where it was like, I came in thinking like, maybe she'll be okay. And I went back and forth a lot because she seemed really alert. She didn't seem like animals sound when they die, or when they're dying, you know, like, I don't know. Animals, like cats especially, when they're dying, they kind of have these withdrawing urges to kind of go away, and she didn't have that. She didn't even have like an urge to sleep or be sleepy. She was very alert and seemed very normal, and she tried to move. She just seemed like pissed and annoyed that she couldn't move. So I was like, it seems like she has like a desire to live as opposed to this like pet sense that my life is ending kind of sense or whatever. But then throughout the whole point, I was just so pissed at the vet, being like, well, I've been here so long. Please release us from this. We just want to get it over with and be like done so we can leave. And I was just like, let me kill my cat. I just want to get out of here.
Thank you.
That Happens is sponsored by CLA, helping you balance your business for success. Think about a bicycle. It takes balance to get where you want to go. Now think about business. Whatever your business or organization, you ride the line between numbers and people. And just like a bike, it takes balance. CLA, CPAs, consultants, and wealth advisors. That's CLA. We'll get you there. Clifton Larson Allen LLP Investment Advisory Services are offered through Clifton Larson Allen Wealth Advisors LLC, an SEC registered wealth advisor. So, you know, she eventually comes in, and I'm just so pissed, and I'm like, you run a bad vet. You're doing a bad job. This is bad, and I would do a better job. And she's like, all right, well, feel free to, you know, pass your notes along to the hotel manager. I'm sure she'd appreciate it. I'm like, all right, I'm done. And so it went about as normal as you want. And then she left and she was like, you know, you can take as much time as you want. And then, you know, we'll bring a coffin or whatever. And I was like, oh, wow. And so I was like, just send the person in. You can just do it now. I just need to be out of this. Because, like, once she was dead, it's like, who cares? You know, it's not like she cares. So we got, you know, we spent all the day together. It was like a pretty fucked up version of spending a day together. Just in the vet all day. A dude came in with, like, a dog that had drowned in a pool. He was, like, hysterical and sobbing. And, he was like, save my dog. And they're like, you know, they took it back, but, you know, it drowned. It was dead. But, you know, it was just a hellish bad day. I mean, an emergency vet's a bad place. So the lady comes in and she's like, you want a coffin? And then I'm like, also, they talked about cremation, but they're like, oh, we have group cremation and regular cremation. And I'm like, okay, well, so the group cremation, you get back like other people's ashes, and it's just like they're scattered over the sea, and it's like they're scattered over the sea. Like, why don't you just throw it in the fucking trash? Like, who cares? I don't care. Like, someone else, like, you could snort them. I don't fucking care. Like, you scatter them over the sea. Like, you take them away and they disappear. Like, I don't know. Whatever. It's like, if you're not going to give them back, it's like, what's even the point? Like, but whatever. It was weird because she was talking about it, and I was like, all that stuff seems stupid. So just give me the cattle, throw it away myself. And the lady's like, oh, we have coffins. And I was like, you have coffins? And she's like, yeah, we have coffins. And I'm like, you mean like a cardboard box? He's like, well, it's like a coffin. It's like we build the coffin. It's like, yeah, it is cardboard, but it's like a coffin. And I was like, okay, whatever. The worst part about this whole experience, by the way, is that I was like making really bad, morbid jokes, and no one was laughing, and it sucked. I was waiting a long time for an hour in the waiting room after the lady left before she killed the cat or whatever. And I was like, man, what's taking so long? You guys are charging me $300 to kill my cat, and I've been here an hour. I could do this in 5 minutes for free. Like, it would be so, like, I don't have to, you know, you're charging me money for something I could do, you know. But they didn't think it was very funny. But whatever. And so eventually, and they're like, do you want the carrier? Oh, the other thing is on Saturday. Yeah, part of why I wanted to document this is just because my memory is already fading of all but, like, the most traumatic parts. So I was like, I kind of just want to, like, remember it or put it out because I forget. I'm already telling it way worse than I wanted to. But on Saturday, when they took Jason for tests and said you can come back in an hour or whatever, they gave me back the carrier, which they've never done before. But they gave me back the carrier, and I walked out with the empty carrier, and I, like, burst into tears, and I, like, couldn't take it. And so after the cat was dead, they're like, do you want the carrier? And I was like, no, I don't want the fucking carrier. I didn't say that. But I was like, no, I'm good. Like, throw it out or whatever, but I'm leaving. And then they met me around back and gave me the cat in the coffin, which was a box. It's a box that's loosely in the shape of a coffin, but it's enough like a box where it's like, just put it in a box. I don't fucking care. But I guess, I don't know, for other people, it's nice. And I didn't open the coffin to look at it, but they like wrap her in a blanket, which was a nice touch. But hey, they charged me like $300. I can afford a fucking blanket, whatever. So now I have the cat, and I'm like, well, what should I do? Another weird part of this is that just like this whole process, like so many horrible thoughts are going through my mind. Like, just like really upsetting images and stuff. Stuff I don't want to talk about because I feel like it would make me sound fucked up. But it was just like, you're already in a really hard position. And then, you know, these really upsetting images are coming into your head. And it's like, what is happening? I'm like going crazy. And it just doesn't help. So that was happening. It was just, it was really bad. And then I was like, I don't know what to do with Jason. And I was like, maybe I'll just throw her out. And then I was like, I don't think she cares about that, but I want to feel good about whatever I do. Just so if I think back about it, I don't feel like I regretted it or whatever. So I ended up calling a cremation guy, and he talked me through, and I don't know. It all was very stupid. The communication we had was really stupid. But it was still really nice because like they're trying to do this thing where they're like, part of my job is being a compassionate caregiver, helping someone in their time of need. And so that means being gentle and understanding that part of my job is saying a right thing or whatever. So, you know, his approach is like layered with that. And it just seems really stupid and tacky, but at the same time, it's nice and I appreciate it. So then he shows up. And this guy's got one arm. He's missing his right arm. And it's just not what I expected. I don't know. And so we take care of it. We're talking, and I'm crying a bunch and stuff, and we're doing the paperwork and whatever. And then it was time to leave. And so he like stands across from me like a guy who's going to shake my hand. And I'm like, oh, fucking great. Like, what do I do? You know? So then he quickly crosses over and gets to my side and hugs me with his left eye, like a side hug from with his left arm. And I was like, this guy's a real fucking pro. Because it makes sense, because it's like a grieving business anyway. So a hug's like reasonably appropriate, you know? And so then he leaves, and he showed me pictures of boxes and stuff, and all the boxes look stupid, but they look fine. It's all whatever. It's fine. The boxes look fine. It's just, I don't know. But the thing is, I don't want ashes, because ashes are dust. They're dust. Like, I want to like put it into like cement or concrete or something, you know? So then it's like a brick. It's a thing. Like, the idea that it's a bunch of ash is like, it's one thing if you're scattering it, but if you don't want to scatter it, then it's like, I just have infinity millions of something. Like, I just want one thing, you know? But I mean, it goes in a box. It goes in a wood box, I guess, but you know, whatever. I figure I maybe want to do something else with it, but I don't want to think about it right now. So anyway, that happened the next day. So I go home, and the cat's dead. And the first thing I do is, I don't know if this is healthy or not healthy. Maybe we could weigh in heaven. But when I am incredibly depressed like this, I'm really anxious and I'm negative and stuff, so I don't do a lot of things that I should do. For instance, I don't say ask people out or whatever. And I'm afraid what'll happen, and I'm like, I'll be so depressed and whatever. So if I hit a real rock bottom or whatever, I'll usually ask people out or do stuff like that, being like, right now I'm so low that I'm basically invincible. Like, because asking someone out, you're going to say no. Like, why would something good happen? It would be insane for anything other than something bad to happen. So it can't hurt, because you know that's what it is, and that's why you've been putting it off, because you don't want it to hurt. But right now, it's so certain to happen that it's not going to feel bad, so just do it, or whatever, you know? And I don't know. I get a lot done that way. I don't know if that's good or bad. What do you think, Kevin?
I mean, I think that's definitely better than my solution, which is to just completely isolate myself entirely from the whole world until I feel better.
Yeah.
You know, I think your technique probably gets you through it quicker and healthier.
I mean, I do that too, though. So, but I try to flagellate a little bit, I guess. So I just come home. Everything is over. It's all over. And I'm just like, I'm going to take everything cat related and get rid of it because I don't have that much stuff. I don't know, like generously excluding the cat food, which I just bought a bunch of fucking cat food, which was that cat food and cost a lot of money. But, and when I bought it, Kevin, I was like, there's a very real chance that I'm not going to get through all this food. Like she's going to die. And I was right. Which is not a thought I've had every time I bought food. It was just a random one. So I was like, I'm just going to throw everything out because I'm going to see it later and it's going to devastate me when I'm not expecting it. And right now, my dead cat is in a box in the trunk of my car. So it's not going to hurt me. I know I'm going to see my cat post. I know I'm going to see the cat box. I'm just going to get everything up. I gathered it up in like 8 big trash bags and stuff, took it all out, threw it all out, vacuumed up all the cat litter and stuff. So the bathroom's relatively clean compared to like what it is when it's full of cat litter and a cat box and stuff. And then I get out of there and then I go get food and because I haven't eaten all day because I've been at the fucking vet all day. And it's like, it's like 9 p.m. at this point. And so, yeah, I go get food and I just drive around because that's what I do to clear my head. And then I go home and pass out and I wake up and, yeah, it just sucks. Everything sucks. I don't know. So the first 2 days were really, really bad. And since then, it's been a lot better. But I don't like that it's a lot better. It feels bad. Like, it feels like... It feels like I'm too numb to it or whatever, which I know grief isn't straightforward and stuff. There's ups and downs or whatever, but it just like, I feel like it should feel worse for longer and it probably will or whatever, but I want to feel worse right now. I feel like it should hurt more. It feels like if, you know, you think about your feelings or your love or whatever as like filling like a well or filling a hole or filling like a vessel or whatever, it's like getting to the bottom of it or something and being like, I could have sworn that was deeper, you know? And so it's like, what is it? You know, I don't know. Today actually has been probably the worst day since those first 2 days, excluding talking about it right now. Yeah, so today was pretty hard, but I don't know. So since then, I've just been, you know, I don't know. I don't know, because my whole routines are way different and stuff now. It's weird. I can close my door and leave it closed now. It's weird. I could potentially travel because I don't have to care for my cat. So it's just, it's really weird. And then the other thing is that I started this job on Wednesday. So part of it is like Jason's deteriorating and maybe starving to death and can't move. And I'm going to be starting a job that works overtime and is like 10 to 7. And it's like, could be realistically working 10 to 10. And like, I'll just have to leave her there all day where she's pissing and shitting herself or whatever. And potentially just dying alone, locked in a bathroom. And right now I'm not in a great money situation. So I couldn't afford to not take the job either. So it was just really bad. And so I don't know though, there wasn't really anything I could have done. I think if I had insurance, maybe we could have got her dealt with better earlier and it wouldn't have gotten so bad or whatever. But the thing is, I don't know what happened because they were talking like maybe it was her back or whatever, but her front paws wouldn't have stopped working if her back was broken or, you know, at the part that they were saying it was, it would have been her back legs and not her front legs. And that's what they were saying. And then they were saying if it was neurological stuff, it would have been like whatever. I don't know. Whatever. It just sucks. It just sucks because, yeah, like I said, the past couple of years, I'm like, this is happening. You know, it's going to happen. It's just a matter of like when it's going to happen. But it's just like, man, that whole time I was just like, well, she should live forever because she doesn't deserve to die. Which, you know, It's true. But it just sucks because I just still feel that way. And she should just go on her back and she should just live forever. I just feel bad. I can't talk. I think I can talk. Okay. Yeah, so it's just like, it feels like I'm just going to forever be feeling like that, and it sucks. And it's getting better, too, and that sucks, too. It just all sucks. And, yeah. But, you know, I don't know. Whatever. You have any pets?
Hmm? Sorry, I didn't hear you.
Did you ever have any pets?
Yeah. Yeah, dogs. And I had a traumatic experience with one of them dying kind of in front of me, got hit by a car. And that was really a lot to go through because it was, you know, in some ways better, some ways worse that there was no leading up to it. It was just all of a sudden, like she was a puppy. She was completely healthy. You know, she just ran out into traffic. And, you know, to go from just, you know, happy playing in the park, watching the dogs run around to being at the vet's office going, no, sorry, there was nothing we could do was a lot, you know? And,
yeah,
you know, I had a lot of the same things of like coming home and then trying to decide, you know, cause we still had one other dog, so can't just destroy all the dog things. But at the same time, you know, like her favorite toy we put away and things like that. But it was hard. I think the hardest for me was that I kept hearing her for weeks afterwards barking, you know?
Yeah.
And it would be like, it would happen all over again, you know, because just for that second, I would forget anything happened. And I almost have that annoyed, oh, what's she barking at now? And then realize, no, that was just my brain, that there was no barking, you know?
Yeah. So I think I that too. My cat, like, she would always scratch on the door. If you want to get in or out or whatever. And so I keep thinking I'm hearing that. It's not happening. Yeah, what were you saying? I cut you off.
No, it's just, it's funny that the way the brain works that way. You know, you become so accustomed to something happening that it still lives on. And that to me was always, I think the hardest part was that just split second of forgetting that anything bad happened and then have it just crash back into you again.
Yeah, Abed texted that he can jump on if we want.
Okay.
So I, off of what you were saying is, it's hard to know what to say when people are dying and stuff, and you want to say something helpful, but what's helpful to some person can be helpful or hurtful to others, and it's just really hard to know what to say. There's never anything good to say. You know, it sucks. It always sucks. And I'm like an egotistical, freaky person. Hold on. Wait 1 second. Hold on. Sorry. You say something.
Yeah, no, I deal so badly with loss that, you know, there are times where, like, you know, we have two dogs now, and the reason why I never had dogs before we had a small child here who wanted dogs was I just can't handle the loss part of it.
No, I know. Yeah. I had Jason. Yeah. So I had Jason. I got her from a friend because my friend was joining the Army or something. And then the Navy or the Air Force. I think the Air Force. And they couldn't take pets. And so I took her. So, yeah, I wouldn't have taken her because I don't like it when pets die and it sucks. But, yeah, I feel the same way. But I don't know. But that's also why, you know, I could have get rid of all this stuff because I was like, whatever. But so, okay. So what I was going to say as off of that is that I also am egotistical and I style myself as like a person that wants to be seen in like a positive light. So I really want to say like the coolest, rightest, best thing you can possibly say to someone, you know, when they're suffering a loss, because I want it to help them. I want it to be unique, something they're A, haven't heard before, and B, are not liable to have heard from someone else just recently in the grieving process. And, you know, and C just also seemed like, oh, wow, Spencer had a unique way with telling me about this and it sticks in my memory or whatever, you know, whatever. I don't know, whatever. I'm a fucking whatever. And so what I always talk about, and maybe I've talked about it on the podcast, is that there's a lot of parts of death that are weird and bad and stuff. And grief takes a lot of, you know, forms, and it's all very complicated and weird. But it's not the most serious. It's almost in a way a kind of trivial part, but it's very connected into how we grieve and suffer tragedy, is this part that I don't think people talk about very much. And it's what you were talking about, Kevin, but I like to talk about it because it feels like it's not the obvious thing that people know, and you might not even recognize it, but it just is a big part of the process. And it's that feeling of forgetting that they're gone, because your brain has these burnt in pathways that it just remembers, and it uses them to save energy or whatever. But it's like, it just assumes these things, and it takes a while to change those assumptions. They're just kind of baseline assumptions that your brain is making to not use brain power or whatever, you know? So it's kind of like, when you wake up late for work and you go to work and you show up late and you're freaking out and it's panicking and you're late and it's traffic all the way and it's just terrible and you're freaking out and you finally get there and it turns out it was like a Saturday and you weren't supposed to work that day and you're like, ah, or whatever. Or if it's a Saturday and you just keep on feeling like it's Sunday, or if like you wake up and it's kind of dark out and you think it's the morning, but it's fucking the evening somehow. And you're like, what even happened? You know, it's like that feeling where it's just like out of nowhere, it's just like this kind of sensation comes over you and your brain kind of ripples. It's almost as if all of reality is shifting out from you, but it's like it coming over you, the washing over you realization. And it happens to you over and over. This is sensation that it's wrong. It's Tuesday. I'm going to see Jason. I'm going to see this person. I can't wait to tell someone about my day, etc. And then it hits you. No, they're dead. They don't exist. They don't continue to exist. They're not continue. You know, it's just done. And it's just really bizarre. It's like a clock being stuck or like a broken record or something. And it just keeps happening. And sometimes it triggers you to really have a breakdown. And sometimes it's just like annoying, like an itch, you know, and it's just so fucking weird. And people don't talk about it. They go, oh, it's a great person. Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, this happened to me or whatever. They say all this other stuff, which is good and helpful, but it's just so uncanny and fucking weird, and it happens, and it's so central to what grief is and what loss is, you know, and it's just bizarre. So that's been happening to me a lot, obviously. It's also just, you start to see like how stuff has shaped your life, like the way I go to the bathroom, the way I open and close my doors, the way I get into and out of bed, the way I move blankets and pillows when I'm in bed. It's like, there's just so many things. Like when I'm on the computer, I will instinctively like look to my left. There's spots that I will look in my peripheral vision to like look for the cat and stuff. And it's just all this stuff. And then sometimes I'll be listening to music on headphones and I'll hear like what sounds like her breathing or something. And it's really awful. And, you know, I relapsed on weed, like I've mentioned before. And, someone said, you know, you can dream about your pets or whatever. And so I was like, maybe I should stop smoking. And so I've been smoking a lot less to try and get a dream. And I had a dream where I saw the cat, Jason, and she was just alive. And I like freaked out in my dream and like jumped on her and like grabbed her. And then like that like woke me up and I started like crying. It was like really bad. And I was like, ugh, maybe I don't like want dreams. So I don't know. But yeah, it's just really bad. It sucks. But I'm definitely feeling better, but just a lot of shit's going on right now. It's really bad. Everything's really bad. So, I think there's a real chance that in 2 months from now, I'll feel really, really good about a lot of things in my life. So I just gotta hold out until then. But right now it sucks. And it just sucks that you have to fucking, I gotta go to work. I have to work out. I have to not eat all crazy. It's like, I mean, I don't, but it's like, I do. I don't know. You know, it's not like it'll help. It's like Jason's like, oh, good, you ate a pizza because you were sad that I died. You know, it's like, whatever. I still want to lose weight. You know, I don't know. It's just weird. It's all weird. So yeah, that's basically everything. No. Okay. So this is probably going to make me cry a lot, but I don't know. But so I just wanted to talk about just about Jason a little bit when she was, whoops, alive. So my friend who got her had two cats, and she was one of the two cats, and she just called her Orange Cat. And so her name was just Orange Cat. And she hid under the bed like all day, basically. She didn't like do anything. She didn't really like people, and she didn't really like other animals. So I don't think she liked the other cat, and she didn't like when people came over, and those people had friends and parties all over all the time. So like the cat, Jason was always like freaked out and stuff. And so then she eventually like joined the, I want to say Air Force, and moved to Hawaii. And she wasn't allowed to take cats, so she had to get rid of cats. And so I took Jason. And I called her Jason because I always wanted to call a cat Jason. And I wasn't planning on calling a female cat Jason, but I was like, I mean, who cares? It's not like, I don't know. It's still funny that a cat's named Jason, you know. It's even funnier if it's a girl. So I named her Jason. She had a collar with like a little jingle bell on it. Like a sleigh bell or whatever, and she hated it. I don't know, she acts like she's autistic or something, but like she did not like that bell, and she had it on her collar, and she learned how to walk without ringing it because she hated the sound of it. So she like figured out some way to like move very slowly and carefully so it didn't ring, which is like crazy. But she could do that. She could even like jump off the bed without a ring. It would ring a little bit sometimes, but she definitely could move silently, and she could even occasionally jump up and down off of the bed without a ring, which was crazy. And it took me a while to figure out that she didn't like it and didn't like the sound, and that's why she was moving so slowly, so it didn't ring. And once I realized that, I felt really bad, and I ripped it off, and we got rid of it. And she seemed a lot happier. I actually took her collar off not too long after that because she didn't like the collar either, and you know. I don't know. She was an indoor cat, so it didn't seem like an issue. Also, she was never, some cats run for the door, you know, and she was never a cat that ran for the door. So it was pretty safe, to not have a collar. But, so yeah, I didn't have any toys for her when I first got her. So I would just dangle cords and headphone cables and stuff, for her to play with. And so she like learned how to, well, she like developed a taste for chewing cords and stuff. And so that became a problem basically her whole life, is that she would try and chew the cables because I taught her that it's fun to play with and chew on cables. And, you know, she ate like two or three MacBook chargers and cost me a lot of money. But I was always just super scared that she would like electrocute herself. So I had to like try and mess with cable management and make sure it was like not crazy, but just away from her as much as I could. She would shit in the bathtub when her cat box was too full, and like my dad one time accused her of peeing all around the house, and he got a black light and found these black light spots. I don't think they were necessarily all Jason, but I'm sure some of them were, but it just like, I don't know, whatever. But, he said she was peeing all around the house, and maybe she was, but I don't know. So he got mad at her. But when I was like working a lot, Jason would hang out with my dad a lot because my dad was unemployed towards the end of my parents' marriage. Jason would hang out with him a lot, and Jason would like kind of go into his room, his office, more than my room. And I really didn't like that. And so I would have to like incentivize her to stay in here and like keep her from leaving and stuff. And then when I moved out, I was like, I became really paranoid of anyone like getting too close to her and stuff. And because I was like, well, I don't want to make sure she like wants to go somewhere else. Like she should always like want to go into my room. And so I was like really jealous. What else? I thought that she just threw up until like a doctor said it was IBD. And then I started paying thousands of dollars to help her with her IBD. And I never know if it did anything or if it mattered. I just know it costs a lot of money over the course of 3 or so years at that same vet that ended up killing her slowly, not fast enough for my liking. Apparently if your cat's throwing up a lot, it might have IBD instead of just be throwing up, or I don't know, who knows. But I switched her to canned food because of that, because they said it would help. And after she started getting canned food, she started doing this thing where she would jump on top of the cat post and just perch and balance on top of the cat post. And she would just stand there, and it was really weird. And I was like, wow, that's so crazy. So yeah, I don't know. I think she and I were a lot alike, which was always really weird to me, because it wasn't like it picked her out or whatever, but we were both just really antisocial. We just like to hang out. When people are around, we like to hide. We were constantly getting in other people's way and standing. You know, have you ever been in a situation, Kevin, where you're in someone's way and you get out of their way, but where you get out of their way to is still in someone's way? Then you get out of the way again. I always am in that situation, and Jason was always doing that to me. And there's just a lot of stuff. We both spook very easily. I don't know. Like, we just personality wise always from the very beginning seemed, like very similar, and it seemed like a good match, except, you know, I wish she was a bit more affectionate. She was really affectionate, but she was, you know, she was just scared all the time. Like, it would be cool to have like one of those cats that you can just have on your shoulder and you can just go out into the world and your cat's on your shoulder. She wasn't like that, I don't think, but you know, temperament wise, I think we're a good match. But yeah, on 420, I would write 420 using catnip on the bed and let her, like fuck with the catnip and stuff. That's about everything, but she was just really good. She was a good cat. I don't know. Sorry. I don't know. But yeah, it just sucks. What else? Oh, yeah. Ovid said he could jump on if we want. Okay. And just, you know, I don't know if you remember this, Kevin, but a few weeks back, you actually told Ovid that you might have to jump off, you know, the call because you're sick, and Ovid might have to fill in for you.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's just really funny because I think I did actually like Madame Web. I don't think it was a good movie, but I think I did like it. But I saw Madame Web, and then I saw Dune, and I was like, oh, okay. Well, that's like a good movie, you know? But I still like Madame Web. Rough break for them though, going up against Dune 2. Are you kidding me? This says Willy Wonka D&D campaign. Did someone suggest a Willy Wonka D&D campaign? I think like one of my Discord patrons suggested a Willy Wonka D&D campaign. This says talk to neighbors. Why does it say talk to neighbors? What the fuck could that possibly mean? Talk to
you. Have a run-in with your neighbors.
Oh, I think I had a question for my neighbors, and I don't know why I put this note in here. Okay, so I tweeted about this, but you can't just tweet about it. You gotta talk about it. Man, I feel fucking gross. I'm really hungry right now. I've been not losing weight. I've been kind of stable with my weight right now. Because I have been eating a bit more than normal. But, you know, I'm just like, it's about long-term goals. You don't have to be going down right now. You just have to not backslide too far. Okay. So I had this idea, Kevin, where, and honestly, okay, Kevin, maybe you can help me with this.
Okay.
Because, where did I hear this? I was listening to a podcast. I was listening to a podcast, and they're talking about something that they heard that was stupid that made them laugh. Like, sometimes you overhear people being stupid, you know, and then you remember. And so they overheard someone talking on the phone in like a cafe or something, and they were talking on the phone, and they were like, well, there's only one Mr. Beast. And that got me thinking, what if there weren't? You get me, Kevin?
Yeah, so, all right, where are we going with this, though? Like,
I think Mr. Beast should team up with some famous science YouTubers or famous science celebrities and clone himself, and that's the video. And they should give me money for it, obviously, because it's my idea.
Okay.
But come on. A video, a Mr. Beast video about him cloning himself? Come on, that's totally a Mr. Beast video.
That is. That's totally something he would do.
And then you have, and then there's not only one Mr. Beast, there's two. You don't like this idea, do you?
Well, I'm just thinking of the practicalities of this. Do you think the world's ready for two Mr. Beasts, though? Could we handle
What's twice practical
the
about anything, Mr. Beast? Can we handle twice the content? I think we can handle twice the content. I think if anything, it's our patriotic duty to produce twice the content. I think we have to make as many Mr. Beasts as possible. And I think that's what's wrong with the country. You know, we've gone wrong in this nation. Somewhere we went wrong. And I think it was when we stopped making Mr. Beasts.
Now, would this be another same age as him, Mr. Beast? Or would this be like an infant Mr. Beast that we would watch grow up?
No, because as great and hilarious as my ideas often are, this is a serious idea.
Okay.
And it is possible to clone a human, I think. And you have to do it the normal way, which is you just make an embryo and you have to raise it, you know? So.
Okay.
That's the pitch, right. At least.
I mean,
it would be slow.
I could see this going well, though, as being kind of like this slow burn content of him raising a clone of himself and all the hijinks they get up to together.
Don't you think that I should at least be able to get in a room and pitch this to Mr. Beast? Like, I don't know that he'd go for it, but I think, like, he at least deserves to hear it, you know?
I would love to be in the room when he hears this idea.
Mm-hmm. I'm drinking this soda, Coca-Cola spiced. What, you had one of these before. What do you think?
I did. It's kind of a weird thing to be coming out just before spring hits. It seemed to me as more of like a winter fall kind of flavor. You know, I usually think of like spiced drinks as being Halloween or Christmas or that kind of thing.
I think it was supposed to hit in the winter. It just always takes forever to hit a new place. And so it still launched too late anyway, but yeah, to me, it tastes like Coke that's been mixed with like cherry cough syrup flavor, like not the bitterness, but like the artificial weird cherry cloying flavor. And I'm not really getting much of a spice. I've been drinking a lot of diet soda lately, and I'm drinking this Coke spice and it doesn't taste good. And I'm like feeling pretty good about my decision to be drinking diet soda lately. I could never handle diet soda before, but now I'm like really enjoying it, and it's really good. I like diet, or what is it? A&W Zero Sugar is really good. I don't think there's caffeine in that one either. And man, diet sodas, and also Game Fuels. And I just had a Ghost Energy recently. They taste like Sour Patch Kids. Those are fucking good, dude. They're so good. All these, but I don't know. You eat one and you taste like you're going to die. Like you're like, I feel like this is killing me somehow. Spiced Coke. Don't get it. Skip the spiced Coke. I mean, it doesn't taste terrible. It's just like Coke is much better. Let's see. That's all my notes. I'm out of notes. Yeah, I don't know. I just wanted to say all that stuff. I didn't really. It's not like it's not a good show. That's not how you make a good show. I'm sorry if you're still here. You shouldn't be still here. This wasn't even for you. It was for me. But yeah, I just hate that fucking vet. They suck. I feel like I could have done a lot of stuff differently and better and stuff. But I think ultimately it's not like I fucked up and my pet died. It's like, if anything, the vet failed me. Although ultimately I don't think the vet could have done anything if they're that much better. But you know, who knows? The question is the thing that happened a month ago, is that related? Because if it is, it's possible we could have seen something then. And depending on what we saw, maybe we could have done something then and it wouldn't have gotten so bad. So like if it was a better vet, could have been okay. Or if I was like a rich person that could like afford to go to the vet all the time, maybe I could have been more on top of stuff in general or something, you know, but whatever. I think I mostly did a good job. I just wish it wasn't so chaotic. I wish it could have been like more peaceful and at home and stuff. Because the vet sucks and I wouldn't, and I'm just glad that I got her back. It also sucks that it was two vet days in a row, like spend your last 2 days at the vet, both days in a row. The last day it was basically me and Jason hanging out all day at the vet together, as opposed to her being like locked in a cage in a thing, but it just sucked. Being there sucked. The whole time I was hearing this dog howling. It sounded like it was in terrible pain, but maybe it was just sad and alone and didn't want to be in a cage. But it just was horrible. It just sounded like it was in agony. And that was just happening the whole time until I left. And it was just like, yeah, it's like a slot being in the slaughterhouse. So, yeah, I don't know, man. Animals are stupid. Pets are dumb. I think it's unethical to involve ourselves in animals anyway. It's not that unethical, but I think it is unethical. Oh, I have cat stuff still. I gotta throw this out. I've been looking at this stuff so much and I just never clocked it. These are pill pockets. Therefore you put the pills in them. I stopped giving Jason this because it had chicken in it, and chicken was one of the things I was supposed to make her allergic. Well, shit. I'm fucking so out of things to talk about. I think we can do this, Kevin, but I don't know how.
Okay.
Unless we answer some listener emails. What were you going to say?
No, I think I was going to say, hey, do we have any emails if we need to fill the end here?
Hey, isn't that convenient? After I said it, then you had the idea first. No, I'm kidding. Okay. Another dream for you to interpret. Jack Potter writes, hey, Spencer and Kevin, thank you so much for interpreting my dream. I won't go into the email, but what you said about my dream resonated with me. Let's see. You said the haunted house could represent something from my past coming to the surface. I did a degree in biochem and had an awful time. I'm trying to heal some of that experience by returning to education now. Okay. So that was the haunted house. So let's see. If it was as lovely as it was to have a resonant reading of my dream, it did make me wonder if it was similar astrological readings in the way that you can just say a bunch of generic, universally felt things, and most people will find something in there to identify with. I have little understanding on how legitimate dream interpretations are and would love if you explain it, if you understand how it's to work and how it should be digested. So let me stop right there for a sec and say I think it is a lot like astrological reading. I'm not sure. I think when I have dreams and I interpret the symbols, a lot of times it doesn't feel like that. But I think realistically it is. And when I interpret people's dreams, if I know anything about them, I do work that into it, which makes it similar to what they call hot reading as opposed to cold reading, which is something, you know, con men do. But I think it helps just kind of narrow down what they're coming through. I don't know. For me, my theory, and I don't know if there's any science to it or what science there is or what, but my personal theory that I invented myself is the way the brain works is by connecting stuff. You know, it's all tagged. Like even the way our vision works is supposed to be kind of like connections and stuff. Like you see a basic form and then your body like connects it to other elements. And then we add those elements onto it to make a distinct form. So like a TV, I'm looking at my TV right now, and a TV is basically a square, like a rectangle is a square. So it's like, first you see, it's like a rectangle and you go, okay, what kind of rectangle? And you go, like, oh, it's like a thin flat rectangle and it's black and shiny. So it's like all this stuff modifies this like basic form of the square, and like all these tags and ideas like connect to each other, and that's how our brain kind of thinks about it. And so if you think about it, like word association is kind of like how your brain is working, like a cluster web or a web diagram or something on that level. And so, you know, we associate different words with different stuff. So you associate like big and scary, or snake and poison, or monster and danger, or some stuff like that, you know? And so to me, it stands to reason that in your subconscious dream brain, stuff that you see could have attached to it symbolic meaning based on what it's relating to you. So like what you just said with your education and the past coming to the surface, like what that could, I fucking completely lost my train of thought. Jesus Christ. But I'm so sorry. I said it was going to be a bad podcast. what that could mean is that like if it's the attic of the house is what's the past. If you associate the attic with, I put old stuff in there, stuff from my past, and also dust is up there and darkness is up there and I don't like going up there and there's cobwebs and stuff. Maybe all of those words have kind of associations with past. Or, you know, similarly, you know, we talked about like Airbnb and transition, you know, like traveling is inherently transitional. So maybe when you think about an Airbnb, your mind goes to travel and transition. And so similarly, if you're having a dream about an Airbnb, it might be that your dream is also similarly thinking, you know, about travel or transition or whatever, just because, you know, it stands to reason that your mind is just throwing stuff against the wall to make what you're dreaming. So maybe some of the stuff it's throwing is associated with other stuff that, you know, connects to something. And so I think part of that is going to mean it is going to be astrological, where you're just going to feel like, oh, this feels real. And it's never going to, it's not like it matters. You can never prove it. And it's not like it matters if it did, you know, like if you have a dream and you go, oh, this dream means I'm going to be shot in the head 3 days from now. It's not like, you know, I don't know, what are you going to do? You know? So it's just, it's mostly just fun. It's like a party trick. But I do feel like when I am having weird stresses, I have dreams with weird symbols that I don't normally get. And when I have normal stresses, I have very reoccurring stressful dreams. Anyway, where are we on time? Okay. So he has a dream that he wants to interpret now. So I'm going to read it. I was walking around a large building. It was like a museum or university with lots of stairs, corridors. I felt calm and curious to explore the building. I walked through an old wooden door and found myself in a grassy courtyard with a few trees. It was a gloriously sunny day and there's a lot of people enjoying the weather and lounging around. Wanted to relax, so I sat down. I heard a noise like a jet that was like a full-size space rocket taking off from somewhere. No one was surprised and we just looked at it. There was more rocket launches in the distance, and I got the impression that that was what people were watching or gathered here to watch, and I felt lucky to be part of it. I saw the trails dissipate, and a large shape began to fade into view. It materialized into a satellite, and I realized it was crashing and falling from the sky towards us. Everyone, including us, began to scream in panic as it crashed into the building next to us. It explodes, sent a breeze. This is the most vivid and insane experience I've ever had in a dream. The magnitude of the satellite slowly fading into view, and the size of the explosion was immense. I can still remember and feel it as if it happened to me in real life. I ran back into the building and I came from in a panic with all the other people. I wanted to escape, but I needed to go and collect my bags. I didn't want to, but I felt that I had to. I ran up a bunch of flights of stairs with large chunks of steps missing and burst into a bedroom where all a few of my friends were packing their bags in the panic. I grabbed my things and was about to run out of the room and escape. When my friend said we had to wait for his mom to pick us up, again, I didn't want to, but felt like I had to, so we all sat on the bed in silence with our bags on and waited for his mom to say she was out of his sight, and then I woke up. Big love, Jack. Fuck Jeff. So, I've had dreams like this. I just interpret them as regular stress dreams. And what I mean by that is I have dreams where rockets are launching, bombs are dropping, or air strikes and air raids are happening, where planes are dropping bombs, planes are dropping nukes, etc. Usually they start off relatively normal, which is similar to what you're describing, and then at some point just a bunch of like shit goes sideways and usually the sky turns red. But yeah, it's all crazy. So I've had dreams that are pretty similar to this, other than the satellite, which I think satellite feels like just bombs dropping. It doesn't feel very substantially different. So to me, this feels like just a pretty standard stress dream. I'm trying to think of the collecting the bags, running up flights of stairs, friends, wanting to escape, and your friend said you had to wait for your mom. So, okay. Wanting to escape but needing to collect your bags. This could have to do with there's something that you don't want to let go of, and maybe it's not a problem to not let go of it. But, you know, it feels like obviously you need to escape, but something is compelling you to grab your bags. But also the other thing is sometimes it's just literal. In a dream, it's your own brain. And so if you're in a situation like that, you might be like, ah, I got to collect my bags. I can see myself in that situation, for instance, where I wanted my bags. So I wouldn't say that's super symbolic, because that might just be what you would have done in that situation. And in that case, it's not symbol. It's just you being conscious in your dream as opposed to like a subconscious weird connection. Flights of stairs with chunks missing, you know, that could be having an issue, having a struggle. But also, I wouldn't say that's particularly symptomatic. Friends packing their bags in a panic. This is a general stress dream. But, you know, part of the stress of the stress dream could be you're worried about your friends being okay. If you are worried about the economy being bad, for instance, you might be worried about your friend's ability to buy a house or generate, or, you know, provide for their family or whatever, you know. But also not very symbolic necessarily. Run out of the room, escape, my friend said. See, this to me strikes me as the most symbolic, but I don't know how to interpret it. I had to wait for his mom to pick us up. I guess the primary thing I'd interpret that is there's something that you feel like you're waiting for, like something you're impatient about, something you want to happen, something you wish would happen sooner or something. And then the fact that it's the mom, that could mean something specific. It could mean that it has something to do with your social life, I would think. But I think it's just, if it's anything, which it's not necessarily anything, it's probably just like an impatience or being frustrated about the way something is playing out. And yeah, there's not any really advanced symbols other than the mom picking you up, but that's kind of complicated. I don't really know what to Google for that. So that's my basic guess. Hope that's helpful. I'm sure it's not helpful, but that's the thing. Sometimes people have really interesting cinematic dreams and I don't see a lot of symbols in them because they just feel like they're, stress dreams, which can manifest a lot of different ways. They just don't have a lot of very specifics. Anyway, Joanne Cole writes, "Hi, Spencer. Can you talk about the numerous house explosions that have been seen in the news lately? Do you think it's something other than a gas leak, like authorities say? In videos, singular houses are exploding from nowhere, it's like a dune strike or a drone strike. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I think it looks weird. I like your spin on phenomena like this. Your Wi-Fi equals no ghost theory makes sense. I like your rants. Keep going. I watch SHV live and I love Videocalypse. I'm on the bad Discord." Well, it's the good Discord now. They're Mistress J, Kevin, if you know who they are.
Yes.
Okay.
She's in the awesome Discord right now.
So they post a lot of videos of houses exploding. I think they're probably just houses exploding. I don't know. Some of them are maybe meth labs. But a lot of them are probably just gas leaks. Gas leaks happen all the time. I think people are less familiar with what to do with gas leaks, how to detect gas leaks than they used to be. I don't know why that is. I just do think that's the case. And I also think, you know, infrastructure is decaying and stuff. People are cutting corners. I think it's just reasonable that due to a combination of structural decay and cut corners, there's just a lot of dangerous houses that are exploding. That does seem pretty feasible to me. I know it sucks. I know I'm not ruling out the idea that it's something, you know, very suspicious and supernatural or whatever that's happening. But to me, I just like, call me jaded, but it's just like, yeah, of course they're making exploding houses these days. What else is new? I mean, they make a lemonade that fucking kills you. You know, so they should have given that to Jason. You know, you say instead of $300, it would be fucking $5 for a lemonade that kills you. It would have tasted good. Maybe she could have got her potassium. That's going to do it for our show. Be nice to your pets, I guess. Or whatever, you know. And I'm jealous of your pets, and I hate you. And I hate everyone who is happy. And I'm a miserable person. Oh, another thing I want to say is that I think my attitude's really bad and I'm working on my attitude and I think it could be good to work on my attitude. But, you know, you get it. You understand. Jason died. What about you, Kevin?
Join Spencer's Patreon at patreon.com/thesixler. Show him your love.
Shut up.
That's all that matters.
All right. Shut up. All right. So one more time from the Nightmaster and the Daywalker. This is Night and Day, and it is time for... Well, Night and Day never ends because it keeps going. Like, what's the... Goodbye.